kind of feel like we're going to need a miracle to get out of this deficit. But yeah, the Liberal government's federal budget has been released. The first budget for Prime Minister Mark Carney since he took office. And in that budget, $280 billion over 5 years in capital investments. Some of those investments of note are $81.8 billion over 5 years for the Canadian military, $25 billion for housing, $110 billion for productivity and competitiveness. And included in the budget is a plan to cut roughly 28,000 public service jobs by 2029. It's a federal budget whose deficit clocks in at $78.3 billion. I think that's up $36 billion from the projected deficit that they gave us a few months ago in that fall economic statement. But joining me now for a bit of a deep dive into it all, our CJME business analyst, Paul Martin. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome back. From a Saskatchewan perspective, how's this budget mattering to us this morning?
You know, that's a really good question because we haven't really had a chance yet to dig into all the details. But, you know, in the big picture, it's an issue of shift, if you want. This is what they describe as a transformational change. You know, the feds are saying, look, there's only so much we can do. We need to spur investment from the private sector. And then the private sector has been, to a degree, sitting on its hands. There's a lot of uncertainty. You know, what if I do invest and tool up my plant and then I can't sell to my biggest customer in the United States? So why would I take the risk and invest? And the government's trying to figure out a way to overcome that strategy or that sort of thinking and blow some optimism into the view, into the minds of the investment community. And so we'll see whether or not this actually is enough to do that. But, you know, here's the challenge. If you're in business and you say, I've got a dollar of profit, I get to make some decisions about where that dollar goes. Do I, you know, give raises to my staff? Do I pay the shareholders? Do I pay down debt? Or do I reinvest in the plant? And the last one, reinvesting in the plant, which is what the federal government's hoping will happen with this, you know, it's got to show some sort of rate of return for the investment community. Or they say, why would we risk it? We'll just, you know, wear out the stuff we've got. And so we've got to see now whether or not there is enough in this for the business community to say, yeah, we're on for it. And Carney has said in this budget, we're going to try and help you find other markets outside the U.S. You don't do that overnight, right? So I think he's been trying to say to us, this is transitional. It's going to take some time, yada, yada. So when you ask, you know, what's in it for us, I mean, there's some stuff there, but it's going to take a while till we figure out whether or not it's going to have traction.
Yeah, and to your point, to get there, they're offering a cluster of tax incentives that allow companies to write off their investments, buildings, machinery, equipment, all that much more quickly.
That's something the U.S. is doing right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have to counter that because plants or companies up here are being told, come to the U.S., invest here, and you don't have tariffs. If the U.S. market's important to you, you have to look at it. And one of the tools the Americans use is a year one write-off for all of your capital investments. So the federal government here has had to match that.
Business analyst Paul Martin, are you surprised there are not a few more goodies in there for Canadians other than, well, I guess patients, right? There's really no pain management for a government that's in the minority, is there?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, being in a minority is a political reality they have to deal with. But, you know, some would argue that they didn't cut as deeply as probably they wanted to simply because of that. So, you know, if you want pain management, there's just less pain. Let's put it that way. I mean, look, they want to cut 28,000 jobs over the next 5 years. They've added 40,000 in the last 5 years. So we're actually not going to go backwards. You know, we're not cutting. We're just taking us back to where we were. And that, think about it. That was the, you know, the COVID era. And so, you know, you could make the argument here that these are not particularly bold cuts. You know, I just look at it and sort of one of the bellwethers for me is, have you heard the CBC complaining about any cuts?
No. Yeah, they got a pretty generous portion there. Does this budget feel generational?
Not to me. In a way, I guess we look back to the last time we had to do this was when Chrétien was the prime minister and Paul Martin was the finance minister. I mean, they were a lot more draconian and they pushed a lot more stuff. They downloaded a lot of stuff onto the provinces and municipalities. Hey, we shifted through it. You know, we made it. But I don't see that kind of cutting in this one. I think this one is designed to, the finance minister has to decide, do I cut my way to freedom or do I spark growth and grow my way to freedom? And they're looking at this from a growth perspective. They're saying we've got to stimulate the economy.
Paul, I wish I had more time, but I thank you for the great insight as always. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Take care.
Well, that deficit just continues to grow. $78.3 billion. Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME newsroom. There are a lot of numbers to decipher through this budget, and they all start to, you know, kind of make your head kind of just rattle a little. But it's really not a lot in it for, you know, well, the everyday family, is well, there?
Yeah.
We didn't get much more than we already knew.
Not something that, not things that, well, maybe you'll see like right now at this very moment, because a lot of the budget is focused on capital spending, on actually building things versus, say, maybe in past years where you've seen a lot of money spent on, you know, operations. But this is capital investments from the Carney government, hoping that if we build this country up, we won't have to rely on other countries, example, the U.S., as much. And so you're seeing more spending on things like the military, trying to meet our NATO commitments. And so you'll see more money pumped into the Canadian military on things like housing, trying to double the home building pace in this country. So you're seeing things in this budget that reflect, you know, building and infrastructure.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the additionally. They said, okay, we're trying to get rid of junk fees too. We're not saying how, but you know, the ATM fees,
right,
and service fees that we all go through in life, but not much really in there for you and I as you might have hoped for. But
you don't have a luxury boat, do you?
No.
Because they're getting rid of that. Remember that luxury tax, it's called? Yeah. So weirdly enough, it actually cost them more to administer than they actually got from it. So they're wiping that out. That was brought in by the
Trudeau government. Kevin, I think if I had a yacht, you'd know by now. I would have told you by now. This is interesting here in Regina. It's Wednesday morning. Halloween seems so far behind us now, but we're finding another incident of some sort of sliver of metal object in a chocolate bar. This is the third one. So what are they saying at the police office?
This time it was in the Glen Elm neighborhood. And so if you've mapped all these neighborhoods, Southeast Regina as well, Northwest Regina, they're all over the city, exactly. They're all over the city. And so now what the acting chief says is that they're looking into the possibility this could be a manufacturer's issue.
Sure sounds like it more now, doesn't
it? They haven't ruled that out. Where we've seen this before, where, say, a company, something will happen, there'll be metal fragments that get into food for one reason or another.
But there's been no recall by the makers yet.
No. So they're looking into that possibility. Weird that it's just happening in Regina, though, that we're not seeing it, say, in other communities.
Do you know how concerning this is? Because I saved, because it's coffee crisps. And what was the other one? Aerobar, which are all my favorites. So I still have a pile on my kitchen counter. And I've just been chucking in my mouth. I got to be more careful.
Police are saying inspect the candy a little closely, more closely than you normally would. And if you do actually find something, to save it, not necessarily throw it out, because they might need it for evidence.
Okay. I'm out of time, but I do hope that you'll stick around, because Kevin has details about how Trump's lawyers are all headed to argue at the Supreme Court today. This is a big case about tariffs that could affect Canada. We'll have more on that coming right up at 6:58.
Sex a thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sex a thing.
Well, this is weird. My next guest is writer reporter Britton Gray. Did he request this song? Welcome, Britton. How are you?
Not too bad. Good morning.
I'm happy you're here. I was just looking at the forecast for game day Saturday. Looks like they changed it a bit from yesterday, cloudy -3. Now they're saying sunshine, a bit cooler. Friday night, we could get some snow, so there could be a little white stuff on the ground when we wake up Saturday morning. And the high now only -6. The overnight low Saturday, Britton, stick with me on this, is -15. So I say that fourth quarter, your little fingies might be a little numb But maybe you're not even sitting outside with the rest of us minions. Are you up in the press box or what?
Yeah, I'll be in the media box.
Of course you will.
Don't worry about me, but the riders are hoping that drops even lower. They want minus 30 out there. They want to make it real tough for any sort of aerial attack from Nathan Rourke to be a factor.
I bet. Well, let's go to practice yesterday. Who was on the field of note? Who was missing as they prepare for this Big West final?
Yeah, Dante Myers and Trevion Tate were both out there and participating throughout the entire practice. That's a good sign for this offense, as they both, if they do end up going, could provide a boost. Roland Milligan was back out there, though he was limited. He did leave early, but that felt like it was planned almost, like they had a plan for him to get to the trainer room for a little bit during it. So we'll see how he kind of progresses. No Keyshawn Johnson or Shane Ray out there. Though head coach Corey Mace, when asked about them, said there's guys still trending in the right direction. Keyshawn is one of those guys they will keep an eye on this week. So haven't ruled him out yet, but we'll have to wait and see if he's out there today.
All right. What's the intensity like out there? Is it intense? Is it loosey-goosey? How's everyone feeling?
It's kind of business as usual, and that's a good thing for this team. This team all season, don't get too high, don't get too low, stay focused on the task at hand, which is going 1-0 this week. That's all they're focused about. That the goal of getting to the Grey Cup and winning it. That's what they're focused on. I wouldn't say anything is more intense, but I mean, it's getting colder out there. You can already feel it around the city. It's playoff football time.
See Jamie Arata, reporter Britton Gray. The Lions are coming here on the heels of having won 7 straight, including the semifinal, where they eliminated Calgary, which they won on a field goal, a reminder of how important the role of a kicker is. I got to ask, who was doing most of the kicking yesterday?
From what I saw, it was Brett Lawther ahead of practice. He was the one hitting the kicks. He hit all the kicks that I saw, so it looks like they might be leaning him, but hey, that might change today. Today might be Michael Hughes' chance to go out there and kick. We'll have to wait and see how this team rolls out, but I just think with the cold weather and what it could be in a playoff game, I think you lean to the veteran in this scenario.
Ticket sales now over 30,000. We got a few thousand to go yet. Coach Mace was on the Green Zone last week. He said fans make the difference. This place could be rocking, Britton, on Saturday. I think we'll get to a sellout. How do you think the fans will play a role in this game?
I think they can play a big role. That's why getting a home field advantage is so important. The Bombers did it for years, getting home field, using that crowd to their advantage, head to the Grey Cup. I think they'll play a huge role. Pack the stadium, get out there, and I know that the Riders would love it if they made things really difficult for that potent Lions offense.
All right. Well, and the Grey Cup is now officially sold out. They announced yesterday, too. So should be a fun weekend, and today, one more open practice, right? You'll be up?
Yeah, open practice today, close tomorrow, walk through, and then game day already here on the weekend.
Can't wait for it. Britton Gray, thank you.
Not a problem.
Remember, the Riders are doing their best to help you get to that stadium to ensure it's sold out. I know they've been selling family packs, a couple adult tickets, a couple kid tickets, $99 plus your taxes. Check with your nearest co-op, too, the $20 co-op community zone, although in limited amount of tickets for that. I heard only a few days ago that some people have discovered there were still a few there left as well. So if you want to save a little money, it's out there. But hopefully we pack the park. We won't get fooled again. No. No. Hey, look at who's here. Evan Bray from the Evan Bray Show from our Saskatoon studios. Good morning, sir.
How's it going today, Greg?
Well, I'm a little disappointed that you're in Saskatoon because you know what today is. We're having a big party for
Murray
Wood.
I know. 45 years he's been here.
Isn't that amazing that one person can stay at one job that long?
Hard to believe, 45 years for Murray Wood. Has he mellowed over those years, Greg? I mean, you and I worked with him years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we work with him now.
Well, did we leave the first time from Ralco to get rid of Murray in our lives? I can't recall. It's been so long. But no, we came back and he's still here. And 45 years of celebration, and you're not going to be in the building with us.
I'm sure I left a little message for him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, look, the federal budget kind of seems like it's a business-friendly budget, right? With a massive spending on infrastructure and improving productivity and very little for consumers.
Right.
More of a corporation budget.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that promise of an investment today that will pay dividends in the future. I jokingly said to the newsroom here this morning, I said, you know, this reminds me of Christmas morning when I wrap up this big present for my 4-year-old grandson. It's got a big red bow on it, and he rips it open, and he's so excited, and in the box is a $20 bill. And I say, Bo, if you put that in the bank and invest it properly, do you know what that's going to be worth in 50 years from now? I mean, it's not wrong, but he's probably like, well, I want something to have fun with right now.
Yeah.
And that's the way people are, I think, feeling about this.
You actually sounded like Murray Wood there.
I don't know. I don't know, Greg. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some people worry, obviously, about the deficit because we're adding to the overall debt. This year, 78.3, over 5 years, close to $30 billion added to the deficit. However, they're saying that these investments will yield $500 billion in revenue for the country. So, you know, a big part of what we're going to do today is bring in a couple of economists, and we will talk about it from all different angles. Is this going to yield the dividends that the federal government is promising it's going to?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting. I see you've got Jason Childs.
Jason Childs, that's right. Gavin Meskel as well. You know, the other storyline that I was watching last night, Greg, and I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but the MP that decided to leave the Conservative caucus, this MP from Nova Scotia, if that's my MP, I'm ticked off.
Yeah.
Greg, I mean, I don't know about you, but I tend to vote for the person who represents the party that I want to lead the country. So the people that voted for this Chris D'Entremont, I feel like they're going, well, what the heck?
Well,
we
yeah.
voted for you because you were a conservative.
And as you're running, too, you're getting money, you know, through your campaign. And
donors.
I did hear Andrew Scheer was alluding to that, too. But at the same time, he's trying to say, you know what, the more I've been out since that election, people keep telling me this is what we need, and it's more liberal. So he's using that from his perspective. But I understand what you're saying there.
I know it's been done before. I know it's been done on all party lines. I don't like it. I think I would feel betrayed if I was a person that voted for him.
I think most people that voted for him probably feel the same way, but it just got easier for the Liberals. Now,
well, for sure. They're one vote closer. They only need three. And you know the NDP are going to... Yeah, they need three. They got one now with this guy crossing the floor. So down to two, and you know the NDP are going to end up helping them.
They did not sound like... They said they were going to analyze the budget yesterday.
We're going to take it back and think about it.
Talk to the people. But
you can hear the skepticism in my voice there, Greg.
All right. Thanks, Evan. And we'll hear you again at 8:30. Thank you.
You bet.
CJME News Time now is 7:27.